3.5 hours it takes Scorsese to tell me the mob did it.
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
Hey, Ted, episode 97. How about we revisit the past tonight?
Okay, let's do it.
Yeah, let's go back in time. But this is not Back to the Future. But before we do, how's your beer? What do you have?
All right. So thanks to Jesse, one of our listeners. And I'm sorry,
Jesse.
I missed giving you the other beer. I had a beer for you for tonight. But we didn't hook up on Thanksgiving.
Oh, this guy. You did mention it, too. And I never even thought about going over to pick it up. Oh, well.
But it's an El Segundo Brewing Company, Steve Austin's Broken Skull IPA.
Wait, is it either Stone Cold Steve Austin or is it like...
It is. It is Stone Cold Steve Austin.
So it's not...
It's wrestling beer.
It's not... It's wrestling beer, but it's not... is that Steve Austin, the Bionic Man?
Not the Bionic Man.
But is he Steve Austin?
I think he is Steve Austin.
So it's not Bionic Steve Austin. It's Wrestling Steve Austin.
It's Wrestling. It's Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Stone Cold. Let's see how this is, man. And what's the style?
It's a classic IPA.
Okay.
I had one the other night when we had our holiday dinner party. So
nice. So you're going in, you've already had one. I've never had what I have.
Oh, nice.
So the Stone Cold, wait, what is it now? What is the name of the brewery?
The name of the brewery is El Segundo Brewing.
Oh, El Segundo, okay.
So it's here.
Yeah.
Am I saying that wrong too? Yeah.
No, you said El Segundo's right.
And it's
not Los Olivos, but.
It features Citra, Cascade, and Chinook hops. Deliver big flavor with an easy finish. Now stop reading. Enjoy this awesome beer. Cheers, Steve. And it has his little signature.
Does he own it, or do you think he just contributed to it, or what do you think his...
I think he just contributed.
So it's like maybe his recipe or something? Is the guy a homebrewer? I wonder.
Something. I don't know. I wonder if he's a homebrewer, but, you know, I'm sure famous people get a, you know, like, I want a beer, and then they get together with this local...
Yeah, they get together with a brewery, and they put something together for him.
Brewery, and the brewery's like, oh, put something special together for you.
Yeah. So we've had a pretty good cold snap here.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I woke up today, it was like... 31 degrees or something. I mean, I know like in North Dakota, that's nothing. But here on the central coast of California, like 31 degrees and like...
It's significant.
You know, my deck is frozen and it's raining and stuff. You know, I mean, that's pretty chilly.
Yes.
So I thought it appropriate to kick off the first cold snap with the Abominable Winter Ale.
Ooh, nice. That's a good looking one.
I can't even see this. And I forgot what Claire said. Urban Brewery or something. What is that? Hops Urban? No. Hopworks Urban Brewery. The words are, I mean, it's like half point font. It's 7.2% ABV. I have no idea what the, I mean, it's a winter ale, whatever that means. Yep, another can that we have. I've been sitting on this waiting for about 2 months, actually.
Nice.
It's been in the fridge all this time staring at me. That guy in the can has been staring at me because I've been waiting for a cold day. I said, it's winter ale. I got to wait for a cold day. All right, well, I'll let that head go down. How does yours taste?
Mine tastes awesome. I love it. It's a nice...
Awesome. Wow.
Nice, well-balanced, clear, filtered IPA.
Oh, yeah, there you go. All right, let's see here. Oh, wow. I'd say the closest thing that you could say it tastes like would be a fat tire from New Belgium.
Oh, nice.
So it's kind of like a British ale type thing. Not IPA, but just like a British, like pale ale. Like that's more or less what it's closest to.
Okay.
It's almost like chocolate milk.
Really?
Yeah, it's like really smooth. Yeah, malty. Yeah, it's really good, man. Yummy. 7.2 ABV. It doesn't say the IBUs, but I would have to guess like below 40.
Yeah.
You know, below 30 maybe. It's like really mild, like chocolatey on the back end and really like nutty kind of on the front end. It's really a yummy, good all around just pale ale.
Awesome.
All right, man. So we just passed Thanksgiving on our way to Christmas and you had a couple of... dinners yesterday?
Yeah, we had a couple of three Friendsgivings all together, two yesterday and one today.
Friendsgivings.
I don't know. I was always thinking, you know, like the thing we do, we meet up with the same families for almost 10 years now. And it's very, we used to just call them Thanksgiving. And now I guess everybody calls them Friendsgiving. So
I used to call them like orphan holidays.
Yeah, right.
You know, like I've been in California and I'm not around family, or we're here and, you know, we're far from family. And sometimes the in-laws go to Texas or Boston or something and we're on our own. So we go to friends and we're like kind of the orphans. So it's like the orphan holiday, you know. That's why.
But exactly.
Friendsgiving has a little bit better of a ring, I guess. Not orphan Thanksgiving. You know, like,
yes,
I'm the whipping
boy. Not
making
you think of orphans, right?
Yeah, they got me like scrubbing the floor after dinner and stuff, you know. And
how about you?
So yeah, you had a lot of good. Well, yesterday we did nothing. We had broiled chicken breasts and rice and whatever. But that's because Wednesday night was our Thanksgiving. We went to my cousin Chuck's house, and he lives in Sylmar. Small gathering of 15-ish people. I mean, that's kind of big, but really when you think about it, like, you could get 15 people with the quickness. I mean, we're a family of four. Then you throw in my in-laws, his family of four, his parents, you know, boom, boom, boom. Next thing you know, there's like 15 people, like, without even trying. Which leads a little bit into, well, let me back up. As always, the food's amazing. The turkey was great. You know, everyone's standing around and they're like, Jim, can you carve a turkey? I carved the turkey, you know. So it was really good. I mean, my cousin Chuck's wife, Claudia, it was the first turkey she's ever done.
Yeah.
And I mean, she made it to perfection. It was really, she did a great job.
That's great.
Yeah. I mean, tons of great desserts and tons of everything home cooked, that, you know, the stuffing and inside the turkey, the real unhealthy stuffing. That's like, you know, none of this, like, I mean, this is the thing that always gets me, right? People are like, oh, well, we got to make like the heart healthy stuffing.
Yeah.
It's like, it's Thanksgiving. There's one a year. If you're that worried, be heart healthy 364 other days.
Right.
Right now, give me the real stuffing. I mean, serious. You know, like, if you're going to, like, cheat, like, then cheat when it counts.
This is the day.
This is the day, right. You know, like, Tuesday in February, like, go be healthy that day.
Right.
You know?
Or every other day in February, you know? It's like...
whatever. Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah. No, she made the all-out horrible for you stuffing, which I ate more than I should have, and oh, it was great. But which leads me into a bit of what we're watching, which we could get to, but the story's funny. So earlier in the week, you know, I text my cousin, my uncle. I said, you know, that I just RSVP'd that we were coming and everything, and it was like a little bit of a group text. And I said, hey, let's watch The Irishman. Because we did the night before Thanksgiving, and the reason that we do that is so everybody could go wherever they go on Thanksgiving.
Right.
In this case, this year, we had nowhere else to go on Thanksgiving, but we wanted to partake with family. So, you know, because people, you know, in-laws, people are married and there's other grandparents, and you just kind of set it up that way. But anyway,
it's always a logistical nightmare for the multiple.
Totally. So time shifted at night and then you're good to go. So I said in the group text, I said, hey, let's, you know, watch The Irishman. So my Uncle Bud replies back, like, I mean, like 1.2 seconds. I'm in. Right. So he shows up at Chuck's house, you know, and I'm like, Uncle Bud, you know, and I said, man, I've been waiting all week for this.
That's awesome.
You know, from the text, right?
Yeah.
He's like, I've been waiting 2.5 years for this. So I'm like, 2.5 years? What are you talking about? He's like, I knew about this movie 2.5 years ago. So, because he worked in the industry, you know? And he still has friends at Paramount, you know, and at Warner Brothers. And he has friends, you know, around town. So he's like, I learned about this movie too. Oh, man, all I wanted to, I couldn't wait to watch it. It's finally here, you know? Needless to say, 3.5 hours, it takes Scorsese to tell me the mob did it. But we didn't even finish it that night, man. It was, there was too many people, too much going on. We got about two hours into it, maybe. We had an hour and a half to go.
Did you finish it yesterday?
So what we did yesterday was, yeah, we did finish it. What we did yesterday was, me and Clarissa, we started it from the very beginning, and we just watched it all the way through.
Wow.
I'll have to say, there are things in there I missed the first go around. I might even watch it again.
Wow.
You know, because... Well, let's get into it. I mean, since we're already there, I mean.
Okay, let's just keep doing. I like.
Yeah.
I thought of you initially because didn't you paint houses in Detroit?
No, Chicago.
But you did paint, right?
Oh, in Detroit, I painted Kmart.
Toys R Us's.
No, Kmart ceilings and Kmart auto centers. Yeah. But yeah, I was a
not
commercial
like this painting
industrial
houses,
painter, but I wasn't doing that kind of painting. So here's the funny thing, though, right? So, you know, we're going over to Chuck's house to watch. I tell my father-in-law, Frank, that we're going to go watch The Irishman. And I'm excited because I told him, I said, I'm going to watch The Irishman with Uncle Bud. And he said, well, why is that such a big deal? I said, mob movies with Uncle Bud. Because like my uncle is totally in the mob movies, right?
Uh-huh.
And growing up in Chicago, and I kind of explained to Frank about a little bit of the history about how like Sam Giancana and my great-grandfather, you know, on my mom's side, well, first of all, let's just say Irish were like firemen and police and so on, and Italians were streets and sanitation and trash collectors and all that kind of stuff. So my great-grandfather was like kind of like best way to describe him would be like a gopher to the mob in Chicago, right?
Oh,
the mafia in Chicago, right? So he wasn't, believe me, I'm not making a big deal of this. He wasn't like a maid guy or anything. He was just like a gopher guy.
Yeah.
You know? So then my grandfather, what he would do is he would work. This is in the first ward Chicago, which if you look at the boundaries now, the lines were all redistricted and rearranged after Daley died because they wanted to get rid of the mob and everything. So in the first ward was like where the mob like headquarters was and all this. And my grandfather, then he like washed cars for all these guys and he did all the, I don't even know what you like. He was another gopher kind of guy.
Uh-huh.
But there was a huge scandal in Chicago and about ghost payrolling and the mob guys in the first ward. So who takes the fall for this but my grandfather?
Really?
And he's on the front page of like the Chicago Tribune. I got to find the things to put in the show notes. But he's on the front page of the Chicago Tribune and the Sun Times, you know, like Charlie Monaco, you know, like sitting in the spa. Charlie Monaco eating donut holes at the local coffee shop. All while on the clock, though, right?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Oh, for like 2 weeks. Oh, the embarrassment of the family.
Oh, no.
You know? Oh, it was horrible. And so I'm telling my father-in-law all this stuff. And then Uncle Bud, what he would do is he was like the keeper of the cage or whatever, where they would give out the keys to the trucks and all this stuff, you know, the trash trucks, the plows and all these things. But he would, there'd be certain trucks that you'd give the key to, and then the guys would go over to Indiana,
mm-hmm.
and then they'd come back, he'd get the keys and stuff, but like no questions asked, you know,
right.
And he would tell us all these stories and everything. So I was telling him, you know. And he was a teamster and everything, you know, Uncle Bud was. So, of course, like, what better movie to watch, like, The Irishman than Uncle Bud? So we're watching. And so my father-in-law, you know, Frank, he's just kind of giving me the, yeah, sure, whatever, kind of, you know, like, doesn't quite believe me, I guess.
Right.
So we're watching the movie. And as the movie's going on, you see the certain characters and Uncle Bud's like, ah, that's so-and-so got shot in the head 6 times.
Oh, no.
And literally like 1 second later, they put up the script, whatever his name was, shot in the head in a parking lot, 1979, 6 times or whatever, you know? And then they're like, here comes Columbo walking down the thing, and he gets shot, you know, in the head or whatever. And my Uncle Bud's like, there's Columbo. And I'm like, how do you know? He goes, because he got shot by a black guy, but there's no black guy there. So I said, but that's a black guy. He goes, oh, well, then that's Columbo. And then like a second later, it shows on the screen, you know, like Columbo and all this stuff. And we're just like, what? Like, so he knew like the guys who got killed, how they got killed, how many times they got shot in the head or they got shot in the face, you know? And so we're on the ride home and Frank's like, I couldn't believe it. He knew like the guy got shot before the movie had told me the guy got shot.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, it was so funny though, you know, watching like a mob movie with Uncle Bud. So he worked in the industry, you know, the film industry for a while. Uh-huh. And the stories he was telling at dinner were so hilarious and so funny. And the people he worked with and Michael Chiklis wanting to come after him for not cooking him food. And I said, you know, we got to get you on the podcast.
All right.
You know, just tell us the back lot stories of, I mean, it does. Trailers be damned. I don't even care. It's like backlot stuff of like the industry in the 80s and 90s.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
You know, with all the people and everything. So yeah, it was great though. I mean, overall, I mean, yeah, it's an all-star cast.
Yeah.
The movie was phenomenal. I mean, what did you think?
I've only seen about an hour of it.
Oh, this guy.
So
you're saying that because it's 3.5 hours, it should have been a series. So you're making it into a series.
I'm just going to make it into a series.
There you go.
I've watched them driving and smoking a lot so far.
And blowing shit up.
But it is an interesting unfolding of the story. So,
and a lot of F-bombs.
I appreciate it. And hopefully I'm going to get... I've changed my running schedule, so I have a little bit more time running.
Okay.
So
watch out for the fountains.
Luckily, it's all on a treadmill, so we're good to go.
Okay. You'll be holding the phone out in front of you, like hit, you know what, you know, crossing the street into a bus.
Right. No need for that.
No doubt. But so you saw an hour so far.
I saw an hour so far.
The thing that was hilarious, though, it's like, all right, 3.5 hours. You're into it an hour before you even realize it's about Hoffa.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I'll tell you, though, you haven't been there, and I'm not really spoiling anything, but the tale of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know it's about the Irishman, you know, the De Niro character, and it's not about Hoffa, but it's really about Hoffa.
Right.
And man, the end is just, it goes long at the end. It kind of slows down and drags a little bit.
Okay.
There's some exposition and stuff that Scorsese could have like cut to a little bit quicker, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I might watch the last hour and a half again because, you know, and again, I'm not, I mean, like I said, 3.5 hours to tell me the mob did it, you know, I mean, I don't think I'm spoiling anything there, but
no.
So we watched 2 hours at Chuck's house. And there was so much information that when I watched it a second time, I really picked up on a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I think having Uncle Bud's narrative telling me who everybody was and how they fit into the mob scene was actually really good. But the other side of it, though, is there was so much that I missed and that I picked up on the second go around for the first half that I might watch the second half because there were a few things I'm like, well, how did he get there? And,
right.
You know, why did that guy show up when this happened? And how did this guy get killed at that scene, you know, or whatever it is, right? There's right. little things. And it was like one line, you know, or like a guy made like a quip. And next thing you know, 42 minutes later, they're arguing about something he said that was like literally 3 words. And you're just like, what are they arguing about?
I missed that.
Yeah, totally. Because it was so quick, but it was so profound that you didn't realize it was that profound until they like put a whack on him. You know? But yeah, I'm looking forward to hear more about your thoughts. I mean, I really enjoyed it. And of course, all-star cast. You know, my one criticism, if I could have one, is, you know, they make them look old, they make them look young, they make them look real young, they make them look their age, and you really can't tell which is which.
Mm.
You could tell they're really young, and you could tell they're really old.
Right, it opens on the really old, yeah.
Yeah, but the middle of it, you're like, well, is this makeup, or is this them, or whatever, but... But the thing I think that they failed, though, was when they made him look younger, they still had the movements of an old guy.
Ah.
You know, so it's like, oh, here's De Niro, like, whatever. He's like 30, but like he can't bend over to tie his shoes. You know what I mean? Because his back hurts.
Right.
You know, it's like, no, a 30-year-old guy shouldn't move like an old man. You know, he shouldn't be so stiff getting out of the car.
Yeah. And I think I fell into something like that where they're playing them the young selves after just meeting. And it's kind of like I would have thought more time had passed because then they're kind of reintroducing themselves to each other.
Oh, like, with Ray Romano introducing.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. But a lot of time has passed and it feels like they're saying a couple of years ago. And I'm like, a couple of years ago? Is it like 10 years ago? Because you guys look a lot older than you did when Pesci was reaching into the engine block, you know?
Yeah, and you'll notice too, like as the movie goes on, the guys are aging.
Mm-hmm.
The one daughter that has a problem with De Niro, the De Niro character, she more or less is the same kid who doesn't age over the span of time. And then all of a sudden, she's like 35 years old, you know, but De Niro looks more or less the same that he looked when she was 12 years old.
Right.
So the kids' connections with age, you know, or lineage, I don't even know, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like their progression of age.
Right.
Is not as, or it's more pronounced.
It's more pronounced, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is true in life, right? Like,
yeah.
You and I look more similar 10 years ago than Audrey does for 10 years ago, you know?
Yeah, like, exactly. You know, so like the Frank Sheehan guy, you know, De Niro's character, he looks more or less the same over the whole time. And the kid is like, all of a sudden now she's a grown woman who's like gorgeous, you know, but.
Right.
But yeah. Anyway, I want to hear more about what you have to say about it, you know, but yeah, Thanksgiving dinner was great. And watching movies with Uncle Bud is even better. So
awesome.
So how was the rest of your week?
The rest of my week was, you know, typical work week with the holiday coming. So not a lot going on. A lot of
Did you work today?
No work today.
Sweet.
Today was another Friendsgiving over with Natalie and Ryan.
Another one?
Yeah.
Man, this is like your birthdays. So, you just keep celebrating them.
They just keep going and going.
Ugh, man.
But yeah, how about the rest of your week? Anything?
Yeah, boys started swim lessons today.
Oh, cool.
So, you know, it was funny. I'm sitting there, I'm working around the house and, you know, just whatever I'm doing, you know, like cleaning up stuff or like doing dishes or something. My watch buzzes and I'm like, you know, sometimes it buzzes and in the back of your head, you're like, okay, sure. I got 42 steps to go.
Exactly.
You know? But I'm like, so I decide maybe this time I should look. And I look and it's like, Mikey's swim lessons in 30 minutes. And I'm like, oh, man, boys. And I'm yelling across the house, swim lessons in 30 minutes. Get changed. And as I go down the hall,
yeah,
Mikey's pulling up, like he's already changed. He's pulling up his swim trunks. I'm like, wow, he can do it. You know? Anyway, we got all that boom out of the house 7 minutes down the road. We're at the pool, you know? Yeah, it was hilarious.
So the boys like it then because that's they jumped into action.
Oh yeah, and what it was is before we did swim lessons that were like group swim lessons, there'd be like 10 kids in the pool and they each get, it's like 40 minutes, but they get like 2 minutes, like every 10 of attention, you know,
personal instruction. Yeah,
exactly. So literally for like $10 more, you get a full 30 minutes one-on-one.
Oh yeah. That's the only way to
so
go.
So I was like, that's like saving. It's cheaper that way. If you look at it on like a per time basis. So that's what we did. And man, I'll tell you, after one lesson, they're already swimmers. It's great. Amazing when they get that really close and direct attention and stuff, you know, but, but hey, Ted, how about we get into the trailer of the movie that you're going to go see with Anne?
Okay, great.
Emma. Does she not have a wrinkle? I mean, what is this?
What do you mean, not have a wrinkle?
She looks like her face is... She looks like anime.
Oh, no, it's just some...
Her face is like so painted with makeup or something.
Some beautiful porcelain makeup. Yeah.
Total porcelain, man. Yeah, it's like incredible.
No, it's the art of the show.
Wait, show? This isn't a movie?
The movie.
Oh, man, you had me worried there. You familiar with Seth Graham Smith?
No, who's that?
Oh, he wrote Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. And he Austen's Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Oh, yes, yes. Okay. Does he have an Emma?
I want him to do like Emma the Werewolf or something.
So did you like this trailer?
It's a good question. The trailer was fine. I mean, I liked the trailer. It had like fun wit, a few quips. It was quick moving. It had some humor. It has that British dry humor to it and everything.
Right.
I don't think it's... I think I saw what I needed to see with it. It's not the kind of movies that I'm into.
Not your cup of tea, per se.
Oh, ba-doom. Yeah, I mean, like I said, the trailer was wonderful. I mean, you know, it was so good that it told me I don't need to go see the movie.
I think the trailer has this pace and a crescendo and has the beautiful, you know, some lyrical pacing and has the musicality to it that I think you and I appreciate in trailers. And then it has, like you said, these few punctuated moments of dialogue and humor. You know, the innocence thing is hilarious to me. But then it goes off and just a montage of the different Jane Austen esque things that are going down throughout the movie. So you know that, you know, after you see this trailer, you know what you're going to see, and you know the presentation of it is going to be a little more, you know, drawn. It'll be typical of movie to trailer where you're not going to get the same pace and quickness of action and stuff. So yes, I agree with you. Anne and I would love to see this. and I wouldn't mind seeing it with her. So I don't know.
I would say this trailer, I mean, it's a teaser.
Yeah.
So we have to keep in mind they're not showing too much story in a sense. However, what concerns me about this trailer is that it's one of those typical comedy trailers like American Pie or something. Mm-hmm. Where you're worried that they showed you all the funny stuff in the trailer. And then you go to the trailer, or I'm sorry, you go to the movies, and then the movie's kind of dull, but for the comedic scenes from the trailer.
That you had already seen, because they're all in the trailer.
That you've already seen, and you're sitting there waiting for each one of those scenes to pop up so you could laugh.
You're like, I need to laugh.
Yeah, and you're just kind of waiting through the rest of it to get to those scenes. And my biggest concern is, like, when she flicks the door open at the end, those types of scenes are great. I mean, like, I love the wit and the humor and the sarcasm and everything that is all the emotion, the sarcastic emotion bottled up in that scene of her attitude towards the woman running towards her.
Yeah.
But my fear is that once she flicks the door open, there's going to be this really dry dialogue that's just going to put me to sleep.
For anywhere from 5 to 10 minutes.
Exactly. Exactly. In this British accent, I won't be able to understand. Right? That's my biggest fear of movies like this.
Yeah.
You know, like the trailer is awesome, but I can't promise you that I'm going to be enjoying the rest of it, you know?
Right.
So I don't know. What are your thoughts? I mean, are you excited to see it, or are you going to go and just say like, yep, Anne's watched a number of Marvels. I'll go show this. I'll go see this one with her.
I'm interested. I like Focus Features. I think they have a good take on this genre. So I'm excited for it. You know, it's February. It seems like a Valentine-esque kind of movie. So,
Oh, there you go. Oh boy, this guy thinks like in romantic ways. He thinks in ways that I don't think. I mean, I don't know. Is that a weird way? I don't know. But, Yeah.
So it's interesting to me, and I'm independently excited about it.
What does that mean, independently excited? What does that even mean?
Because you said I'm excited to go see this with Anne, for Anne.
And
I'm independently excited. So I am excited to have something to share with Anne, because I've been trying to get her to watch The Morning Show for like 2 weeks now.
And she won't watch it?
Well, she wants to, I think she wants one show at a time.
And what is she watching now?
She's trying to finish The Crown.
Oh, The Crown. Okay.
So the new season of The Crown is out, and that's what she's trying to get muscle through.
In other words, I read books like I watch TV, meaning I read like 4 books at a time. And it's just like change. I'm like, all right, I read like 10 pages of that. I'm going to go read 4 pages of this other one. And then when I'm on the can, I'm going to read like 3 pages while I'm there and of some other book.
Yeah.
So Anne watches TV like she reads books, where she reads one book at a time and one show at a time.
Well, now that we're in this streaming space, we can do whatever we want with the media that we consume. So
even more reason why you need to be mixing it up constantly. Because nothing's going away.
Right. Although, you know, I do find myself like this week watching things. I really wanted to get through that Jack Ryan season 2.
I got to watch it. Yeah.
So I pushed through that. And a few mornings I delayed watching other things instead of watching another Jack Ryan.
Wait, mornings? You watch stuff mornings?
Well, for this week, I had extra time to run because I wasn't taking the kids in.
Oh, while you're working out.
So I was running. Gotcha. and working out, and had the whole hour. I could run for the whole hour instead of, you know, just half an hour.
You run for an hour?
A jog for an hour, yeah.
On the treadmill?
On the treadmill.
Do you, what mile per hour are you going at?
Like 4.5 miles, five miles an hour.
Okay. And you have earbuds in, I'm assuming.
I have my earbuds in, you know, the phone's on the little dial, so I don't have to look and see, you know, how bad my heart's doing and stuff like that.
So the earbuds, though, are these the Bluetooth, like, white ones that kind of hang out and stuff?
Oh, I can't wear those. I just got a gift of, like, the kind of knockoff AirPods, but they don't hang in my ear right. So I have a different one that's a suction.
So they don't hang in your ear because the way the foam pad works or something? Or what's the deal? What's the deal with it?
Yeah, so the ones that hang out of your ear, they're like a hard plastic.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have that fitted piece that goes in your ear.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. Because I use, like, I don't know what they are, M-Pow or something.
Uh-huh.
M-Pow, I think.
Right.
And you're right, though. They don't, like, they're not hard or anything. Like, they go in your ear all soft and they get all squishy and form right. Your ears and stuff. Yeah, exactly. I know what you mean. So, yeah, I agree with you. So then you just put those in and, like, you're oblivious to the world.
Oblivious to the world.
And you're just... And you're like a gerbil on a wheel.
Just pounding it out and trying to figure out what happened in Venezuela, you know?
For an hour, though. So, like, how many, like, if what's the mile equivalent you're doing?
So, that's about 4.5 miles.
4.5 miles.
Because the miles an hour is what you hit, right? So, 4.5 miles.
Oh, so 4.5 miles an hour. I gotcha. So, you're not even doing, like, a 10K.
No.
Yeah, so you're not sprint. You're not, like, running hard. You're just, like, plodding along
and just watching my heart rate.
And, like, what's your heart rate at?
It's like 135.
But 135. So you try to keep it there in, like, fat burn area, whatever that is. And
yeah, I'm trying to, I do intervals. So I do like the low of 3.5 and then the high of the low of 3 and then the high of 4.5 or 5, depending on how I'm feeling.
And then what are your, like, so intervals? Are you doing like a minute on, a minute off, or like what are your intervals?
2 minutes. Yeah. 2 minutes on, 2 minutes off.
Two, you go hard. Two, you go easy. Two, you go for like an hour.
Right.
Gotcha.
But the whole, once you program the first 2 cycles, then you're good to go and then you can just let it go.
Oh, wait, excuse me. So the treadmill just, it kicks it up and you're just like, oh, geez, I got to catch up.
Yeah.
So you don't do it. The treadmill's doing it.
The treadmill says we're going to 4.5. We're going to 5 miles an hour, you know, so it tells you like 3 seconds before.
So if you're totally captivated by Jack Ryan, I mean, he is handsome.
He is handsome.
But if you're completely captivated by him and you're not paying attention, like, it'll throw you.
Okay, so this morning I had finished him.
Uh-oh.
And I was watching the morning show.
Yeah.
And during the morning show, she gets Jennifer Aniston's character gets on a treadmill and she starts running. Like, she's running angry and she keeps upping the speed and upping the speed. And she falls off of her
treadmill. She's hate running.
She's hate running for sure. And she falls off her treadmill and it's super dramatic. And I was like, oh God. And I was like losing my balance just out of sympathy for her.
So let me ask it this way then. So, okay, you're running at the gym, right? Uh-huh. And your phone is like, say, a 5-inch screen or something.
It's like 6.5, but yeah, okay, fine.
Okay, 6.5 to the micro whatever.
Yes,
but okay, so 6.5-inch screen, I mean, anybody walking by can easily see what's going down,
right?
So have you ever been like jogging at the gym and like people are getting hot and heavy in bed and like just banging away and you're just like you're just running, that's my show. Boobs are bouncing all over and you're just like, it's what I'm watching. Like, does that ever happen?
I think it did happen one morning and I did like change what I was watching. I forget what it was. It was many, months ago.
You grab the phone, you're like juggling it. It goes down to the first floor, you know, like you drop it. Yeah.
But yeah, I quickly turned it off and I thought, oh, I guess there's some shows you have to watch in the comfort of your home and not at the gym.
They don't give you the HBO like nudity, violence.
Explicit warning.
Yeah. Adult language. Right.
Right.
Oh, man, that's too funny. All right, moving on to the Civil War. Or is it?
Yes, right?
I don't know. You tell me.
It's very confusing. So Antebellum is another, I guess it's a horror movie, right?
A very cool teaser trailer. And you kind of read my notes a little bit, but...
Is it a horror movie?
What I love about... let me get to that.
Sorry.
All I wanted, my first question was, do we have a new genre?
Oh.
Black horror.
Black horror.
No, black horror, like black people horror.
Right.
You know? But if you think about it, though, nothing's really new. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, white people antagonizing black people.
for centuries.
For centuries. Right. I mean, really, that's what this kind of spoke to me about, like...
Across the decades, it has not changed.
The decades of centuries.
Yes, yes.
You know, and when the 9/11 calls going out with the Confederate soldiers running, and then they have that, like... jolt of the plane. Mm-hmm. Before the card came up, I thought, this has got to be from, like, you know, Get Out or something.
Right.
And then the card comes up from the producers of Get Out and Us, you know? And I was just like, I knew it. Like, it had that feel.
Right. It does. It has a Jordan Peele feel. And it is his kind of movie. And again, like you said, it's a genre bending horror film, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it looks great. I mean, it's a little bit like the Jane Austen type era. I mean, if you think about...
Yeah, similar in time period, yeah.
Similar time period, yeah. And, I mean, obviously, you're looking at the U.S. versus being in, you know, England. But overall, though, I mean, I think the period piece and how it transcends into the present. And, I mean, I have no idea how they're going to do that and how they're going to jump time. But,
yeah,
it looks really cool.
Yeah, if the film jumps time as fluidly as the trailer does, then it's going to be a more interesting film.
You know what's weird, though? And I just thought of this. So... you have the Terminator, and the Terminator is like present to the future. But what if, whatever the time frame was, the Terminator went to, like, you know, I mean, obviously Schwarzenegger was Conan, but it went to the Conan era, you know, and he's like, I gotta find Sarah Connor, you know, whatever. But it's like, and he's just riding around with like Black Sonya, you know? Yeah. but I don't know. What do you think? You going to watch this?
I'm definitely going to see this. And for me, I wouldn't have said that if it didn't have the legacy of Jordan Peele, Get Out, and Us. You know, like if it's along those lines, then I'm more interested in what this film has to say about race relations historically and contemporary in America.
And that's kind of what I was getting at when I said there's nothing new about the black horror, meaning, you know, white people antagonizing black people. Yeah, I mean, you just said it. It's like race relations over the centuries, and how is this going to play into that from, well, if I had to guess, pre-Civil War, Civil War and Reconstruction into, you know, the modern time that we're in. And I don't know, are they going to be talking about police violence against black and Ferguson and all that kind of stuff? You know, is he going to get in, maybe not Ferguson specifically, but is he going to allude to it or something?
That whole idea of, yeah,
essentially Black violence. Lives Matter.
Right.
Yeah. Is it going to get into all that stuff and getting into Black Lives Matter from, you know, 200 years ago?
And he also produced, you know, Black Klansmen. So he's heavily, you know, invested in this idea of examining race relations in America.
Oh, I mean, I think they need to be examined.
Yeah, and Jordan Peele's a great auteur to do it.
So if I may, when we think about race relations and things, Anne is Indian. And you were telling me the other day that the new iPhone doesn't pick up her face.
Yes.
When she's trying to log in on the facial recognition.
Yes, it is. It is a point of contention with us and the new iPhone 11s that we have.
Is that unbelievable?
It is unbelievable, and it's sad, but I guess we're hoping for a good quality
update. Firmware update.
Yeah.
Pick up Indian women, please. You know, like.
And then, and also, like, the personally, that is a problem for Anne.
I think that is a problem. Yeah,
it's a problem, you know, universally. But I also have problems too with my facial recognition, because, you know, if I'm in bed and I have my CPAP on, I can't open my phone.
They think you're Darth Vader.
They're like, your face is obstructed, and I was like, aha, I can scan my face a second time with the CPAP on, but it knows that your face is obstructed, and it can't get a good quality read on enough points, data points of your face. So I wish they could change that as well.
So, like, what, iris recognition or something?
Yeah, or just like, if, I guess they want all the data points so that they can, you know, extrapolate them. But if you just did like just your bridge of their nose and up, you know, then maybe there's enough information there. I don't know.
Yeah, that is weird, because I mean, at some point you have to be secure, but it's like, I don't know. I don't know how all that works, you know, but all I got to say is, like, you can't like not log in because someone's darker than somebody else.
That's true. That's true.
You know, it's like horrible. Like, I can't get access to my phone, you know, whatever. But yeah, Antebellum, you know, overall looks awesome. I mean, looking at the two trailers we have this week, most definitely I will watch Antebellum over Emma.
Okay.
Unless it's Emma the werewolf. Yeah. Unless it's Emma the werewolf. Like, you know, a Seth Graham Smith movie, book thing, whatever. But though I've read the two books, but I have not watched Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, which is what I learned was out in 2016. However, Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, the book was phenomenal and the movie was utterly atrocious. Yeah. Don't know if you saw it, but
I saw a little bit of it and I did turn it off. So yes.
Yeah. The book was really good though. And if you didn't know any better, you'd think, damn, Abraham Lincoln was a vampire hunter. It was that well written. But anyway, man, are you watching anything else this week?
Yeah. So like I said, I finished up Jack Ryan's second season. He got his guy in the end. I'm not giving away any spoilers, but you know, like, we know Jack Ryan's going to live.
Sure. Yeah.
Some people around him did suffer the ultimate consequence. So that's interesting. And then this morning I started, well, I was doing The Irishman, but before I did The Irishman, I wanted to see.
Now, is this on the treadmill?
So The Irishman was a little bit after the treadmill. But
or is this on the drive home? I hope not.
Not the drive home, but you know, here and there.
You got the phone between your thumbs on the steering wheel.
Oh, and what did you think about the subtitles? Were you concerned that the Irishman was going to have a lot of subtitles?
Oh, when they were speaking Italian to each other?
They speak Italian at the beginning, and I was like, oh, God. I hope this doesn't continue.
No, I had a feeling it was too, Scorsese doesn't do that, mm-hmm. you know, generally speaking. It was typical Scorsese, I thought, with the score, because mm-hmm. he picks out his own music.
Right.
It was his directing, the way the camera kind of follows through the scenes, yeah. you know, and all that. I mean, kind of typical Scorsese in a lot of ways. But when it comes to, like, subtitles and stuff, I think he just did it to prove the point that the Irishman... you know, the De Niro character was more in than, you know, your typical in guy.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, uh-huh. I think it kind of, he's like, you know what, this guy's in, but we got to make sure that they know he speaks Italian. So he's like really in, you know, like he can't be made because he's not, you know, he's not from Sicily or something, but he still can be made enough.
Okay.
You know, and I think that's kind of what they were getting at.
Enough to get the ring.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, and you could, he was trusted.
Right.
Yeah.
So this morning I watched Servant, which is a new series, limited series on Apple.
Servant.
Apple TV Plus.
Are you crushing it? Like, are you just watching all kinds of stuff there?
I'm trying to. So
do they have a lot of stuff?
For me, they don't have a lot of stuff. And like I said before, they kind of try to offer you like HBO stuff and other things that are in the genre of the things that you've watched on their platform, but through other services that they want to offer you. They're trying to get me to watch something on Disney Plus, and I was like, well, if I want to watch something on Disney Plus, I'm not going to watch it through Apple TV Plus. You know, I'll go to Disney Plus.
Oh, so it's like Amazon in that regard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so it's like an aggregate.
It is a little bit of an aggregate, and they have like a handful of shows that are their own.
Oh, okay.
So I was this week, I guess I tried to watch all of the shows that they had, and For All Mankind, I've fallen off of, but I'll see if I can finish that eventually.
Is there a reason why?
I don't know. It wasn't holding me the way I thought that it would. And there are too many other, you know, we're at peak television. You know, there are too many other great things to watch. So
Peak streaming.
Sorry.
Yeah.
And then so the morning show is by far the anchor of their whole lineup. I tried to watch C with Jason Momoa, but I couldn't get into it. I've only watched 5-10 minutes of it, but it wasn't my cup of tea.
C,
the futuristic apocalyptic future where everybody was blind.
Oh, that one. Yeah.
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 But Servant to me is kind of interesting. I'm not into horror genre. I'm not into horror like series, like American Horror Story or anything like that. But this, because it's M. Night Shyamalan shooting it, is visually arresting and beautifully shot for, you know, a limited series television show. So the way that he holds on a frame, the way he has people walk into and sit into a frame without moving the camera, like the camera's set up for the final shot, but it has like some background action where they're doing stuff in the background, and then they walk into a table and sit down at a table, which is the framing of the shot the whole time, it's very visually interesting from a cinematic perspective. And then it has Lauren Ambrose, which I don't know. Are you a Six Feet Under fan?
Six Feet Under. I've never seen it.
Never seen it?
I'm familiar with it, but I've never seen it.
So it was a great, you know, HBO show back in the day. And the girl in it, the daughter of the people that ran the mortuary, was Lauren Ambrose. So she plays the mother in this limited series. And it's really kind of amazing. Like the whole time I was thinking about it, you know, there's a couple of shots where it's just uncomfortably close to her face. And she's talking to her new nanny at dinner. And it's just a very uncomfortable setting. And to me, it makes it feel like we're in the same universe as Six Feet Under. Like this could be the character from Six Feet Under grown up and doing that. I mean, it's not because the name doesn't match, but
right.
But it is, you know, thematically and visually it's reminiscent of Six Feet Under. It's interesting. And I'm willing to give it a couple more episodes, but it could get too dark too quick with the subject matter.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's some of the thing, too, like the Mandalorian, you know, we're up to date on the Mandalorian.
OK.
And the boys keep saying, like, when are we going to be able to watch the Mandalorian? And it's like, you know, let's just stick with Lego Star Wars for right now. You know, like this is just a little bit too heavy and too dark. And Timmy's like, but I'm old enough. I can watch Star Wars. I'm like, not this Star Wars, you know. So I know what you're saying. You know, it's
yeah,
it's it's a bit like you said, it could get too dark too quick. And sometimes I'm reluctant to show the boys things because you're watching and everything's going along swimmingly. And then it takes a turn.
Right.
And you're just like, whoops, let's turn this off right now. Now is not a good time, you know? And yeah.
I don't even want to explain what you just saw, but let's just move on.
Exactly.
Oh, and then the one last thing, I don't know what else, if you've been watching anything else, but in the theater, we did see Frozen 2, which was good. But last week I talked about seeing Ford versus Ferrari.
Oh, yeah.
And that one scene that's in the trailer where he's driving the executive around in the and the.
Well, can I first back up?
Yeah, go ahead.
You led us to Ford versus Ferrari the whole show last week. And as I'm editing it, I'm like, he never got to Ford versus Ferrari. And I never even picked up on that in the show.
I know. I was
so how about you give us your take on it before you get into the one scene?
Okay. So the overall take of Ford versus Ferrari is it's my favorite movie of the year thus far.
Really? Is that good?
And the more I think about it, the more nostalgic I become about wanting to have this, you know, and thinking so to me, the most interesting thing about this is when it hits home entertainment, when it hits the streaming services, does it reach the bar of something that would be on Disney Plus? To me, it does kind of. It has all the earmarks of a Disney Plus content, even though it's a Fox movie. But it feels like if the content calls, has this powerful nostalgic message, powerful friend message of friendship and paternalism and all these great storylines, it just feels like a perfect match for Disney Plus. So I hope that it ends up on Disney Plus. It was great. Audrey again says, she was crying for the last hour of the movie, so it definitely drew some tears from me at the end.
Too many car crashes, like they're ruining the Ferraris and the
she's like, that's such a beautiful car that they're destroying.
Exactly.
Oh, and then it's so funny because they show the racing car. You know, a 24-hour race, right?
Oh, Le Mans?
Yeah. So they're showing that and they're showing this car. And back when I worked at Bravo, Fritz Lang was the weatherman.
Sure.
And because Jay Leno was there, Jay Leno would have his cars traded out in the middle of the day. So they're he'd drive one car to the show, and then his car people with his car collection over at the airport would come and switch the car out, so he would always drive something different, you know, to make sure he got stuff in his rotation. But Fritz Lang, the weatherman for the local NBC channel.
But how cool would it be to be like, I'm driving, whatever Ferrari back. Yeah. And does he trust the guy to not do a whole shot, off the line? How many of his car people got tickets, I wonder?
Oh, that'd be funny to find out. I don't know.
He has a GT500, the guy's just crushing the gas pedal on the off the line, whatever.
Yeah. No, I'm sure that his people know the Burbank police and all the local people.
Exactly. It's amazing.
But so Fritz Lang, the weather guy for the NBC channel, the local NBC channel, he has this F100, this the car that won Le Mans. That's his.
Yeah, yeah.
That's his car. And it's painted the same way and everything. So it was a beautiful car, but I never.
It's the exact car.
Well, it's not the exact car, but it's the exact paint job and, the model.
It's meant to be his exact car.
Yeah. So it's a.
Gotcha.
A working replica of this great Ford, historical Ford.
So
and
cool.
I walked by it, 100 times, and I never thought about.
You never gave it 2 cents.
Yeah, I never thought about it being the core of this great racing story,
Oh, man.
So that was great. And then so here, there's a trailer moment, which I thought was interesting. So we see the executive crying in the passenger seat.
Right.
when Matt Damon takes him out for a little test drive.
Yeah.
And it plays as a comedic moment, right? In the trailer, right?
Sure, it does. It does.
It's like he made him wet his pants or something like that, right? But in the movie, and this isn't a spoiler because it's kind of inconsequential, but in the movie, that the man who that is that's Ford's son. And he's, you know, Henry Ford the second, you know? and Ferrari likes to point out that he's the second, you know, you're not your father kind of thing.
Yeah.
But so Matt Damon takes him out. He does like whip him around and the whole audience is ready because we've seen it all in the trailer and he starts crying and, you know, it plays for a laugh for a minute. And then right after that, he looks over and he says, "Are you okay?" And he starts talking through the sobbing. He goes, "My dad would have loved to see what you've done with his name on it."
Oh, so tears of joy.
Tears of joy, how the car that they built, you know, together, you know, Matt Damon and Christian Bale, they built this car and it was so beautiful and it performed so at such a high level that Henry Ford II was moved to tears, you know, wishing that his father could have seen this, you know, and in a movie that's about fathers and their children and you know, and best friends. And it was quite the way to turn something on its head that's, you know, that we've seen for months is a comedic moment, and it plays into a comedic moment and then hits you with like this sentimentality.
Trailer editing at its finest, which we've learned time and again from our own movie going, like you're talking about, and also interviewing people.
Right, right.
Yeah, amazing. I love that. Yeah, I mean, I want to watch the movie. I haven't seen it yet, but I agree with you. I mean, in that regard, I could see it being a Disney Plus movie, and especially from Fox and all, and their merger, and when you look at it from that regard, the business side.
Right.
But the way it plays out, and when we had HBO for like that 4 months or whatever, we had HBO. And the movies that come across HBO, it seems like it would be more like I would expect to see it cross HBO far or long before I would expect it to cross Disney Plus.
Okay.
You know, it just seems like, you know, men and cars and popcorn and like home movies, not so much family.
Right.
But I see what you're saying with the family side of it. And I think on its face, it doesn't appear that way. But when you really think about it, it probably is more that way.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. Very interesting. I would love to see it again. So I will probably see it a couple more times.
Oh, wow. Okay. In that case, when you want to see a movie again, it's worth watching.
Yes.
It's worth watching. So I think we might have to watch it. So, all right, man, anything else? Or I mean, because pretty much I watched The Irishman and Mandalorian, and I'm going to go watch the, well, I don't know what we're going to watch, but it's almost 11:30 at night. I'm probably going to watch my eyelids.
Okay. Mandalorian, are you, so you think it's slow, but you think it's good, right? Like, is that where you're sitting?
Well, you know, that's an interesting way to look at it. You know, it's like slow, but good. And I think it is slow, but good. What I think it is, I think it's Star Wars. What I like about Star Wars, but it's what Star Wars ought to be.
Right.
If that makes sense. So it's one of those things where it's like, if you're going to just do a speed of light across the galaxy, you know, like we're going to hit hyperdrive and then they show them take off in the hyperdrive and then poof, they're there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a few times they'll show them in hyperdrive for a split second. Like, hey, we're in hyperdrive. And like, I'm going to go check on, you know, whatever hoses, you know, I don't know. Whatever.
Right.
You know, and then they arrive and the planet's not there.
Right.
But the thing about it, though, is it's like, I think The Mandalorian, I think fills in the middle, you know, the missing middle in a sense.
Okay.
So you have the missing middle of, you know, like it's like, well, in between the jump cuts, we're going to show you what's going on. And I think that's really cool as a Star Wars fan. As a get to the point fan, sometimes you're like, wow, is this slow?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, because I think it's Star Wars sometimes, and maybe movies, you're so wanting to learn what they're trying to do and what the motive is and what the objective is and all this,
right?
You know, the information you're trying to obtain, but you forget there's a story behind it and like art behind it.
Right, right. Yeah, that's so funny because at on Thanksgiving dinner, our first Thanksgiving dinner, there was some industry people.
Our first.
and Audrey was talking about how she likes to fast forward and she likes to listen to her podcast 2x and won't play her videos. Sometimes she plays her videos 2x.
I've tried that. Oh, I can't keep up.
And then she likes to fast forward. Like if she's bored with some a scene in a movie, she'll like do, you know, jump 10 seconds forward, you know, rather than sit there.
Right.
I was
right.
Like, oh, this is my perfect moment to be like, you know, right. We have some interesting people there. Right. And I said,
dude, talk about ADHD.
And I said, there are people at this table who make, you know, make media and you're skipping over the art that they have created and put in front of our eyes. You know what I mean? And I was trying to give her a guilt trip for doing this. And all the industry people at the table are like, well, you know, art's kind of a strong term for it. You know, it's okay if kids want to skip forward 10 seconds.
So here's the way I would analogize that.
Uh-huh.
You fly all the way to Paris, you go to the Louvre,
uh-huh,
and you speed walk.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, that's what it is.
Right.
Like, I can't be bothered with it. Like, I took the time to get here. I paid the entry fee.
Uh-huh.
I'm into it enough to want to walk through the doors. And now I just got to get through this shit as fast as possible because I can't be bothered by it. It's like, what? You know, you have to just like, you've spent the time, you're willing to give the sacrifice.
Right.
Absorb it.
Right, right.
And you're not just like speed reading for information. There's a story. There's people hang on scenes for a reason, you know?
And there's a reaction space. There's a space for you as the audience to participate.
So true.
Participate in the storytelling because you have invested a thought and you expect it to go one way. But then when it goes a completely opposite way, kind of like that Ford versus Ferrari scene, you know, where you think it's playing a comedy and then it hits you over the head with a sentimentality. It's like, wow, that's so unexpected. And if I didn't get the moment to enjoy the humor at the beginning, or if it played out faster, then what is my brain doing and trying to hit these beats that are timed out by filmmakers and editors?
And you're right. There's like that reaction space. You have a comedian who's going to give a line. And what does he do? He stops for just that brief moment because that's when the laugh hits.
Right.
You know, and if you're just scrubbing to get through it, one, you're missing the joke. And two, you're kind of missing the timing.
Right.
You know, and you're missing like, I mean, yeah, timing. I mean, that's the whole point of comedy is timing.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have timing, you don't have comedy. It doesn't matter how the joke goes.
Right.
And if all you're doing is 2Xing it, like you're missing out on all of that. You know, and then, I mean, you're just there just like absorbing content just to tell your friends like, oh, I've seen it all.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the point?
They're competitively viewing things.
Hate viewing.
Hate viewing.
I'm hate viewing it. All right, man. Well, I'm going to hate edit this. No, actually, I'm not. But let's hate get out of here.
Okay.
And we'll hate. I don't even know. How can you, other than hate viewing and hate, like,
hate running?
You actually, in other words, when you like what you're doing, how could you say I hate it? You know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. Right. I'm trying, but the timing is off. See?
There you go.
Is that what, are you playing me 2X, Ted?
We got to workshop this, but yeah. Audrey's paying us 2X right now.
Audrey's like, what are these guys? Delete.
We should just slow down. We'll do it like we'll talk really slow so that she thinks her 2X is broken.
Oh, no. And then it comes across as just like level.
Exactly.
Whoa. You know how? Okay, here's a thing really quick before we cut out of here.
Yeah.
Do you think a show would ever play at half speed? So people, when they 2X it, would put it would play normal?
It'd be interesting to see.
Like, just as an experiment, like, we're going to put something out half speed. And then people be like, what the heck is
like,
this?
Oh, is this super slow? Why is it like this? And then other people are like, well, see, even the fast people would think it's slow because they think regular speed
because
is slow.
They're waiting for fast.
Yeah.
So everybody thinks it's slow. Okay, so it wouldn't work.
Yeah, we'd have to go faster, and then they would get even faster.
Wow, yeah, I guess so.
We build the 2X into it.
Well, I told you when I edit at about one time faster.
Right.
Yeah. So would that be 2X?
I think that's 2X, yeah.
That's 2X, yeah. No, actually, okay, I don't go that fast. I go about
50%. Yeah, 1.5.
1.5, yeah. I go 1.5. So, but yeah, because it's like, all I want to do is like, I want to hear the ums and ahs and cut all that stuff out, you know, and the likes right. and your knows and...
We've gotten better, though. We've gotten better over 97 episodes.
Oh, man, we're tight. We're tight. You know, I got to say that we have gotten tight. I mean, I'm able to edit pretty quick these days.
Awesome.
But I still go at one and a half because anything faster than that's just too fast and I'm missing stuff. But yeah, I go 1.5.
Yeah.
You know, I can't listen to TED Talk for an hour and a half. You know what I mean? I got to get through this.
That's right.
Now I know what Audrey's going through.
And my whole family.
Yeah, she's sitting at the dinner table scrubbing through dinner conversation.
Oh, I wish. All right.
All right. Well, hey, happy, again, belated Thanksgiving at this point.
Yes,
and
yes.
Looking forward to a Merry Christmas. Man, I can't believe we're in the holiday season, you know.
You're very festive today with your hat and your stockings hung by the chimney with care.
Stockings. I got Santa's hat. I got the abominable winter ale. You know, yeah, I mean, I got everything out of the attic today, and I figured, you know, like, hey, let's go for it.
Awesome.
Santa time. All right, man. Hey, have a good night.
You too. See you.
All right, Ted. Later.
Bye.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the holy trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.